Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Mirazza. Happy Tuesday to you. It's a Trash Tuesday. Plus, we ask, should the Celtics be the favorites to win it all? It's the best of the DA show. Now.
Let's begin with your Eastern Conference Finals, shall we? On Sunday, on Mother's Day, Andrew Kaplan, resident Celtics fan, being forced to maneuver around the pieces on the chessboard because he wants to salute mom, wants to also salute his wife, newly minted mom within the last year, and watch his Celtics. Thankfully, unlike, say, Andrew Perloff, who had to watch the Sixers get drubbed after moving all the chess pieces around, at least Cap got to see a win. So now the Celtics move into the Eastern Conference Finals, where the Miami Heat and Jimmy Buckets are waiting. And everywhere you turn, all the money is on the Celtics. They are big favorites to beat up on the Heat. I saw a 10-person panel from ESPN on social media yesterday. 10-person NBA panel predictions. Every single one of them took the Celtics. 10 people. Every single one of them took the C's, skewing from a sweep all the way to 7 games. So nobody that I've seen is picking the Heat to win this series. And like I said, the betting odds are heavily in favor of the C's. But my question would be, is this just because of the 8 seed attached to the Heat? Is that the reason why? Because, I don't know, does anybody remember last year's Eastern Conference Finals, which were these two teams that went to a 7th game and a shot by Jimmy Butler to pull ahead in the final 20 seconds of the game? Should the Celtics be this heavily favored? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Team that we're extremely familiar with. Third time in 4 years, I think, playing them in the playoffs. And, you know, the very well-coached team. They compete with the best of them. You know, they play hard. They defend. They make plays. And they figure out a way to win games. And, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be highly competitive, and you know, I'm looking forward to it. Right? It's the best time of the year, and we get to, you know, play them again. So you know, it's going to be fun. And as a competitor, you just you know, love the opportunity.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Jason Tatum ahead of this game one. Last year, let me take you back. Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7. Celtics in Miami because the Heat were the 1 seed last year. May the 29th, 2022. Final score, Celtics 100, Heat 96. Let me give you some of the names from the Miami Heat roster, okay? Jimmy Butler. Bam Adebayo, P.J. Tucker, Max Strus, Kyle Lowry, Gabe Vincent, Tyler Hero, Victor Oladipo. This is a lot of the same names you are going to hear in this series coming up in game number one and beyond. There's a couple of guys that left, a couple of guys that are injured, but by and large, this is the same team. And I just don't understand why people wouldn't give the Heat a chance in this. Did they not beat the 1 seed in the Eastern Conference?
Did they not take out Giannis, Chris Middleton, and the rest of the Milwaukee Bucks that just won a championship 2 years ago? Didn't they just do that in five? Now, I realize that Giannis hurt his back in game one. At the same time, all four of the wins that the Heat got, Giannis played in those games. The one win that the Bucks had in that series was when Giannis didn't play. This is a Heat team that is going to bring into this matchup Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson. Same guys. Mostly the same guys. They know each other so well, the Celtics and the Heat. They know each other so well. They play in the postseason almost every year. Eric Spoelstra is a clear advantage in coaching. A clear advantage over Joe Mazzulla, who's in year number one. Spoelstra's been there for 15 years now as a head coach. Won two championships. Gone to multiple NBA finals. Five NBA finals, I believe, with Eric Spoelstra. How many deep playoff runs? And not for nothing, as great as Jason Tatum was in Game 7 in the fourth quarter of Game 6, you can't tell me that there's no way he might not disappear for some time frames, or that Jimmy Butler might not be his equal in these moments, or that the Heat have no fear going on the road. I'll tell you, I know you have a 2 seed next to an 8 seed, and I realize that the Heat played some bad basketball over the course of the season. I realize that it feels as though it's Jimmy Butler and then just a bunch of nobodies, but I think the Heat have a chance to win this series. I really do. I think the Heat have a chance to win this series, and I find it laughable that nobody on earth seemingly thinks outside of Miami that they can win. That's a formidable team, and ignore the 8 next to their name. Ignore it. That's not who they are. They're not an 8 seed. They're a team that was the 1 seed last year with mainly this same core of characters that went to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against this squad. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. What I love about this matchup is that Butler v. Tatum provides all of this, two titans in the sport, two big game guys, and who comes up biggest in the big games. Jaylen Brown's excellent. Bam is excellent. Those guys will be a great support system. But this comes down to who performs bigger in more of the big games. Who's bigger in this series? If Jimmy Butler does Jimmy buckets, playoff Jimmy type things, and Tatum's good, not great, or Tatum has 2 or 3 games where he's mediocre, that's where the Heat advantage can come from, because we've seen Butler do incredible things. So that matchup I'm super excited for. I think it's a great series, a great matchup. People might be tired of it, but it does give you two contrasting styles and fight and familiarity, and it should be a lot of fun. We'll do the Western Conference Finals coming up here later on in the show, but this is unbelievable. What a turn of events for DA. Last week on Friday, I drive into the office. I'm safely trailing a dump truck, okay? I am not right behind it. I'm well behind it. I'm thinking I might be 5 car lengths behind it. I mean, I'm a pretty good distance. I'm no fool. I might have been born at night, but not last night. So I'm trailing what I think is a healthy distance. Wouldn't you know it, something flies out of the dump truck. I got a swerve, hits my driver's side mirror, smashes it to bits, huge thump, boom. Whoa, what happened? Whoa! I got no mirror. I got a big dent and a scar on the front of my car. Call up the insurance company on my way home from work on Friday. It's a jarring experience. I got to keep driving because you can't just pull over the side of the Jersey Turnpike next to all these multi-18-wheelers and dump trucks. on the way home. Nice person on the insurance phone line. Of course, you know, this is when they're very nice, is when they want to make sure that you take get taken care of for all of those years you've paid into a kitty that you never take any money out of. Suddenly, it's their your best friends now. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Best friends. Okay, so going to have to bring the car in. We're going to have to get you set up with a rental car. Where can we get you to the auto body shop? I mean, I got stories now for days on the collision side of things. I mean, one company told me they couldn't get me in until August. What are you talking about? Anyway, yesterday, I bring it into a place that can finally get to my car this week. That's good. So I got it in yesterday after the show. Rental car company calls me. Okay, we're going to send somebody over there with your rental car. Okay, what kind of car do you want? And I said, I don't know. Whatever. What do you got? Well, we got sedans. We got midsize SUVs, compact. I'm like, yeah, midsize. Fine. Ooh, looks like we're all out of that. Okay, whatever you got. Well, would you like a pickup truck or a convertible? Wow, that's an interesting option. I've never driven a pickup truck. I've never driven a convertible. What do I want? Well, I guess warm weather, convertible. Well, that sounds kind of good. But, ooh, pickup truck. I could run some errands with a pickup truck. I can do some stuff with a pickup truck. I could have some fun with the pickup truck. Well, I don't know. What would you have chosen there?
I would have gone pickup truck
really? And
asked Danielle what dresser she wants moved out now or never. Or we wait another 5 years.
I thought about that with the basement renovation. I've got a big door. I've got to return to Lowe's. This would be perfect for it. But boy, that convertible sounded nice. So I said, what would you suggest? And the woman says, actually, it was a guy at the rental car company. He goes, well, the pickup truck is nice, but the convertible is probably my nicest car on the lot. Everybody loves driving it.
Oh, boy.
I said, all right, give me the convertible. So pulls up to the collision place, picks me up. I look at it. I'm like, this is great. It's an Audi convertible, brand new. I said, but I feel like I could use the pickup truck more. It's more practical, right? He goes, maybe you got stuff to do. I was like, yeah, I got a door to return to Lowe's.
Again with the door.
What else? I got a bunch of scrap stuff that came out of the basement. I could run to the dump. Okay. What else? I'm like, really nothing else. I don't know. He's like, why don't you stick with the convertible? Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. First time ever in a convertible that I was driving. I've been in a convertible before, but that I was driving. Okay, let's pop down this roof. Which button is it? I'm at a stoplight. Don't know the buttons. Don't know. Uh-oh. Is it going to turn green? Uh-oh, it's turning green. What am I doing here? This one. Boom. Ooh, okay. Oh. And then here I am. All right, let's floor it. Floor on the gas, wind in my hair, and I'm looking around like, wait a second. Now I'm the cool guy.
I mean,
I'm the cool guy. For 5 seconds, I was like, I think I'm the cool guy now.
No, you weren't.
And then, I
now wait a minute.
Then I pulled into the grocery store, and I said, let me put the top back on. I drove 10 minutes with the top off, and I said, I think I'm good. That's about it. Then I drove into work today, didn't have the top down. I don't know, maybe I'll do the top down again, but for 5 seconds, I felt cool, and then I thought, maybe I look like I'm having a midlife crisis.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, when somebody zips by you with a top down and a convertible, nobody goes, that guy's cool. They go, that guy's a bleeping bleep bleep. So that's, I think, what you probably look like.
You think that's what I look like?
That being said, I've never been in one. Did you feel like it was too windy as you're driving?
No, but I didn't go that fast. I wasn't on the highway. If I was on the highway,
Let me tell you, there
bugs in your teeth.
One thing that is a concern when you drive a convertible, it feels like things can fly out. It feels like, yeah, I had a plastic bag with something in it, and it's flapping. Yeah, and when you're in a regular car, you're already kind of scared that it could fly out. But, you know, it's usually going to get flown into the back. In this, I'm like, I could actually lose something. It could fly out of this car. Then
there goes my phone.
Yeah, that's the scary part. It's kind of like you're untethered, like if you're hanging upside down at maybe a roller coaster at a, you know, some type of amusement park.
Always been my thought. Motorcycles, all of that. Yeah, I don't think I'm a convertible guy. I couldn't go with it. But, you know, nice weather today. You might as well take advantage.
Yeah, finally we've got some good weather, so.
Yeah, so, all right. So you just look like a complete tool?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm either tool or cool. I'm not sure.
Did you do, like, the arm hanging on the door as the convertible was open?
No, I didn't do that yet.
Oh,
no,
man.
No.
This is pathetic.
Not yet.
This is very pathetic.
I had the windows up.
Did you blast the Jay Giles band on the way up?
Oh, that's a good one, yeah. A little centerfold, yeah, okay, right. Yeah.
Wait, you had the windows up with the convertible down? Shouldn't you be lowering the windows, too?
Oh, you're right. When I first got it down, yes, you're right. The windows were up, but then I put the windows down after.
Yeah, that's I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's the right. That's exactly right. By the way, cool or tool is definitely a new segment coming up on Gelb's show.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay, cool or tool, Zach? Jim Irsay tweeting.
Maybe we should do cool or tool.
Cool or tool.
No idea.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Oh, yeah. Happy Trash Tuesday, everybody. You can always watch us on YouTube. Check out the YouTube link on both our social media pages that we tweet out before the show. Anywhere that you have your YouTube app open or you have YouTube on your laptop or desktop, just go to the CBS Sports Radio channel and on Twitch and at watchda.com. We begin with Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Namath, who, just like Brian Goonsey, tried to call Aaron Rodgers and yet was left hanging.
I talked with one of the Jets officials and I got a phone number for him. But, you know, Aaron doesn't always answer his phone. I left a message because I thought that was mighty nice of him. But first of all, I wanted to welcome to the Jets, man. He lifts us up right away. And you know he gives us a legitimate chance of making the playoffs.
Did Namath say whether Rodgers ever got back to him? He left a voicemail. He left a message, but have they talked?
We have not gotten word that Rodgers has even gotten back to Joe Namath. And I got to think Joe Namath talks a lot. We would know if he did.
I mean, Joe Namath's come on our show, so we know that he answers phone calls.
For sure.
From just about anybody.
Including Scam Likely.
I'll tell you, if you're Rodgers and you haven't called back Namath yet, you're a bum. You're a total bum. That's a living legend. That's the greatest New York Jet of all time. That's Broadway Joe. If he leaves you a voicemail and you don't call back, you're a bum. That'd be like if Vin Scully left me a voicemail and I was like, I'll get around to it. No. You call that man back. You give that man respect. You put respect on that name. Okay? He didn't need no darkness retreat to refocus. No, he stayed up until 5 a.m. every night at toot chores. He didn't need no hyperbaric chamber, ayahuasca retreats. The guy just downed martinis all night long and then went out and beat the Raiders on Sunday. You respect that guy. You respect him. Well before social media where you could swipe through, DM this, Tinder that. That guy was bringing home four women a night. Balancing all these different dates around. What do you got? What's Rodgers got on that? Nothing. You call that man back. Oh, I gotta go get my ayahuasca to refocus so I can lose again in the playoffs. Ah, shut up. You want to go on McAfee's show and hold court and tell everybody how they're stupid? You know what? Where did Namath go? Namath
Alabama. Alabama.
No. What talk show? What?
Oh. That was on?
Yes.
It wasn't labeled in the system.
No. You're missing the point.
Sorry.
Now, what was the McAfee equivalent back in the 60s?
Oh!
Kiner's Corner? I have no idea.
George Michael's Sports Machine?
No.
Dick Schaaf, something or other?
Right. There's probably a Dick Schaaf show. Maybe Jack Benny had a talk show. I don't know.
We finally got there. We figured out what you meant.
The Tonight Show?
What was before the Tonight Show? Anyway.
Jack Benny?
I just said Jack Benny. Oh. Yes.
Home Run Derby?
No. No. Namath did something that was better than Rodgers. That's my whole point.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Okay. It's a sitcom. Not quite, but you get my point.
I don't think we do.
Jack Benny?
Leno?
The Tonight Show.
Fireside Chat?
Yo, the Roy Firestone. Yeah, Namath went on with a 6-year-old Roy Firestone from his basement.
But he did go to Alabama.
He did go to, okay. He did attend Alabama, yes. Yesterday, last night, this is some controversial stuff. Okay? Aaron Judge hits two home runs last night against the Blue Jays. However, during the at-bat for his second home run, Judge is staring into the Yankees dugout. Every pitch, steps out, looks in the Yankees dugout, steps back in. Steps out, looks in the Yankees dugout. And so people are wondering, what are you looking at in there, buddy? What are you seeing there, buddy? What are you checking out? Here is Dan Shulman and Buck Martinez on Blue Jays TV.
All right, Buck. So you and I looked at each other at the same moment right when we saw this three pitches ago.
Watch what he's looking at.
Yeah. What is that?
Where's he looking?
Where's he looking? And he did it more than once.
Yeah. It's really, really unusual. But you and I both looked at each other when we saw that.
Like, did you see what I saw? Yeah. And you don't want to go, you know, throwing allegations around without knowing, but...
No. And then, you know what? I have had guys look back when I was catching, and you obviously could see it, and he couldn't see the catcher with the way he was looking right there.
Yeah, just did it again. And he pummeled it. He hit it a country mile for his second home run of the night.
Wow. I mean, just disgusting by that broadcast.
Shulman is one of the most reputable broadcasters in the world. I mean, he calls an immaculate game. He's always down the middle, never plays favors, doesn't stir the pot. And here he is, Dan Shulman of all people, saying, I'm seeing what you're seeing. That Aaron Judge is looking over their end.
maybe there's some intel he's getting from the Yankees dugout, some intel maybe that's being acquired on the down low, perhaps not everything on the up and up within the Yankees dugout. This is now a thing. Is Aaron Judge, was Judge last night cheating?
For those of us who actually watch the game and don't just wake up and see short snippets, you would know that it's beyond obvious he wasn't. I mean, number one, he hit how many home runs last year? Never looks over the dugout once. The
62.
The two dugouts did not stop barking the entire game. You could hear it through the broadcast. It was annoying. Judge was getting annoyed. He glanced over mid-at-bat in the middle of this. Aaron Boone gets ejected because of the strike zone with Judge. So he's just constantly looking over them, stop arguing. And then he gets basically a 85-mile-an-hour hanger over the plate, and he crushes it. So Judge, who hits all these home runs with never glancing over in the dugout, the one time all these dugouts are chirping back and forth, he's not getting annoyed and rattled and looks over. I mean, you have to watch the game to have a little context. It is so beyond obvious he wasn't cheating.
Mm. Wow. I saw people that watched the entire game that suggested last night.
So for context, I did go back and watch the entire inning, in fact, on this Jays broadcast last night.
I guess Mraz might have you wrong.
Well, and Sean is correct that the umpire was terrible and both teams hated him. Aaron Judge is looking over the dugout for the first time before Aaron Boone gets ejected, right? Oh. And he does it on every single pitch. And I think the home run was on the fifth pitch of the at-bat. So the story is he's then apparently after the fact scolded his teammates for talking too much, to being too mean to the Blue Jays pitcher in this game.
Well, it was also loud, too.
So, but every single pitch at about the same sequence before the release, he had to look over and go, who's saying that? Oh, it's Aaron Hicks. Who said that? Oh, it's Volpe. He couldn't at some point go, I know what's happening. I need to stop looking over there.
Hold on now.
Yeah.
I know.
Hold on.
If DA and I are going back and forth on the air and you're talking into Pete's ear, I get distracted and I give you a bunch of glances I'm looking over to give you the hint. It happens. Judge, who matches some of the best pitchers in the world,
sure,
is facing an pitcher and
who
now
I think he's never
seen
before.
Now needs to keep glancing over at the dugout in that spot.
Weird.
While you loudly hear in the broadcast that's going on. So Judge, who's one of the most respected players in the league, forget about broadcasters.
Used to be, at least.
Needs this moment to decide now he's going to start cheating when he's the least guy that needs to be cheating in the world. And by the way, at the time, a 6-0 game.
That's kind of a flimsy argument. He didn't need to cheat, so why would he cheat?
Well, also,
Barry Bonds didn't need to cheat.
And if that was his way of cheating, I mean, he would be way more subtle about it. They'd bang a garbage can or something, not just directly stare and look. I mean, come on. That is the most obvious thing you could do if you were cheating.
Now, there is also room to be given the pitch that's not cheating. If somebody in the dugout can, like, read the catcher's sign somehow or whatever, like, or there's a tip that they see, like, there are legitimate ways to steal signs. Obviously, with PitchCom now, that's a little bit harder. So guys can see things from the dugout and relay it to the batter. That's not technically rule-breaking. But it's super odd that he happens to look over before every single pitch. And the story is the guys were being loud. He plays in stadiums with tens of thousands of people who are yelling at him all the time.
If there's
and
a difference between hearing your own voice,
distracting him over and over again.
Mm. Yeah, it's very distracting. First of all, you know all the voices. You're looking at him. Basically, you want to tell him to shut the bleep up.
All
he's
reasons
up.
Why. So he's a kindergarten teacher. Mm. He's got a school of players.
He's the captain.
And it's unbecoming of the Yankees to be trash-talking Jay Jackson of the Blue Jays.
It's enough already. He's seen the manager get thrown out. Let him focus there. He's basically telling him it's 6-0. Stop.
So Judge glares over at his dugout after pitch number one, saying, hey, guys, shut up. They don't. He's got to glance over at pitch number two.
Yeah.
They don't. Pitch number three, they don't. Pitch number four, they don't. Pitch number five, they don't.
At some point, Boone's thrown out, remember?
As a captain, a very respected captain, why aren't they listening to Aaron Judge?
Because maybe he's not as respected enough. The Yankees are a mess internally. Mm-hmm.
I'd also wonder, too, if he really was being bothered by them, he has, I don't know, is it 10 seconds now, 12 seconds before he has to get back in the batter's box? He has time to really look at them and stare at them, even do the little
or
shush
say
sign.
Something.
He
yeah.
only looks over pre-pitch.
As though he's studying what they're going to say to him.
Look, you guys want to embarrass yourselves with this conversation, you can embarrass yourselves.
This is why old Uncle Shoney watches the games, sees things with context. It's embarrassing, bogus. It's it's a reach.
I just wonder if this was a Red Sox hitter, how you might feel about
the Red Sox got accused of the watch thing. I don't accuse them of anything. It is what it is.
It was only the Astros.
Well, the Astros won a World Series and cost an ALCS, not a May game up 6-0.
All right, so Vlad Guerrero Jr. in this game last night, and he takes Greg Weissert deep after looking over six times to the Blue Jays dugout.
Are,
you're
are,
in here stopping
are
your
the dugouts feet. Chirping back and forth like that? Then no, he's not accused of cheating.
Dugouts chirping. You as if they play in silent buildings up until last night. There's people here making noise. What's happening?
Wasn't that loud in Toronto last night? I got news for you.
The Masters.
Yeah.
No one's allowed to talk.
It just is what it is. No, I don't point fingers at those guys. It's only the very obvious stuff where you win World Series like the Astros. So you're not going to get me here. Sorry, not nibbling on this bait. You want to go down that hole and embarrass yourself bogus, you go down that
hole. One of the best hitters in baseball couldn't focus pre-pitch because Anthony Volpe was being loud in the Yankee dugout.
And they're just chirping last night.
Right. It's never happened before.
No distraction
it's
whatsoever.
Not like they play 20 some odd games a year.
Oh.
I think Pete should bet the Mets to win the World Series again. They're only two games under.
We're not talking about the Mets.
No.
I wish the Mets were cheating.
Yes. Aaron
made Patrick Corbin look like Cy Young yesterday.
They should cheat.
Aaron Judge just didn't like that his teammates were being meanie faces. Just really was upset.
Oh. It's loud. It's distracting. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's like when Bogus puts his feet up and reads a book during Canadian Bacon. It throws me off. Don't distract
you. You didn't
teammates.
Look at me once in that sequence.
Finally, Zach Gelb, right before he debuted Cool or Tool.
He didn't realize he was debuting it.
Hey, Zach, what do you think about Anthony Richardson going third overall? Cool or Tool?
The answer's Tool.
He says he'd be all over Adam Silver.
Any of these games and get seated within like five or six rows of Adam Silver, there's a good chance to get kicked out of the game. Very good chance.
What would you chirp at him?
Spineless Silver! Spineless Silver! You know how they ring with the cowbell like you were saying and Bob Myers here in Sacramento? I would just be screaming Spineless Silver.
Would you give him a reason why? Like load management.
But you explain you do
the
nothing.
Spinelessness. Okay.
He does nothing. He gets...
You do nothing.
No. Just Spineless
you
Silver.
You do nothing.
No. Please. I'm not advising you for trash talking.
Well, I'm just saying, if you scream Spineless Silver, probably have no idea what you're talking about. So you got to, you know...
It's very easy.
You know...
It's very
let
easy.
Let him know why you're screaming it.
Why is he so upset at Adam Silver? Because he didn't go hard enough on Ja Morant?
That part is unclear. Apparently, he's had this screed, which I partially agree with, that outside of the Donald Sterling thing to start, Silver has done nothing as GM but gets a lot of praise, and that seems to be a common theme.
As commissioner, but
I guess there was some thought last night about Adam Silver starting to attend these games sitting courtside, so Gelb said he would scream at him the whole time. But why would he scream like he's in the gold rush of the 1950s?
Hi-ho, Silver! Spineless, shameful Silver!
And is Hickey trolling with that chant of you do nothing? Because that almost made me feel uncomfortable at how unfunny that was.
You do nothing.
I actually like that better than Spineless Silva.
Matter of fact, we should come at night and chant that at the newsroom.
We should have people do that to you.
But only the guys Pete didn't hire in the newsroom.
I just love the idea that the four of us hang out outside the lobby until about like 11 o'clock at night. And then we all elbow our way in. We lean behind Pete's desk. We're like craning our necks over some 22-year-old recent college grad. You do nothing! As he's not pulling highlights from game one of Nuggets Lakers. You do nothing.
No.
Spineless
you
Stern.
Do nothing.
Spineless Silva! Spineless Silva!
What is that?
The gold rush.
Horse?
He's a legit Denver Nugget prospector.
Spineless Silva! Spineless Silva! Spineless Silva! Spineless Silva!
That's the really old Nuggets logo.
where it's like that circular guy with the big beard and he's got the pickaxe and his 1 foot up.
Spineless Silva! Spineless Silva!
Silva!
Spineless Silva!
It's like
Spineless Silva!
Signaling the sort of a cavalry charge. Like he's the first horse.
Nothing.
Oh my God, Yosemite Zach.
Is Spineless Silva racing in the Preakness? I'm going to call Ron Flatter.
Spineless Silva!
The Flat Man?
The Flat Man might know.
The Flatbread?
The Flat Man. Flatbread.
I love the idea. You do nothing.
No, no, just Spineless Silva.
You do nothing.
I want to chant "You do nothing" at the tape box. I really do. I really do.
Hey, Colton, you do nothing. Let's go right to their house. We can do that at 11:30 in the morning. We don't have to come back at nighttime when they're here. Let's go to them.
Spineless Silva!
Bring them their $17 paycheck and chant in their face.
That is sound check. I was thinking of the Dick Cavett Show, Pete. That's what I was trying to... I was looking for Namath on the Dick Cavett Show or the Mike Douglas Show. That's what I was aimlessly searching for in the first clip.
Not the Tonight Show?
Or Jack Benny.
Jack Benny?
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
Guys, we're having a good time. Having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know. It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
The only issue with this new open is we don't get upside down Mike going, I feel alive! Ah! Nonetheless, it is time for Canadian Bacon. A game 7 last night. Stars and Kraken. Let's get Kraken. Here's Mraz.
It was a happy Monday, boys and girls. From San Antonio to El Paso, Houston to Fort Worth, Kalamazoo to Dallas 2. Game 7 was on the air to determine who was headed to the Western Conference Finals. Phillips head Grubauer would put the screws to the Stars' offense in the first period, shutting out the home team. And the other net, there was no more after hours for Jake Dave Ottinger as he blanked the Kraken. The first period would be scoreless thanks to great goaltending, but second periods and goals in this postseason have been a perfect combo. Like salt and pepper? Here I go, here I go, here I go again. Girls, what's my weakness? Goals! Okay, then, chillin', minding my business. Yo, salt, I look around and I couldn't believe this. You make me want to rupe.
On Ottinger, who'll keep it going with the stick and then lift it out by Dallas. 4:05 and counting. Giveaway. Here's Hintz. He's in. He scores! Rupe Hintz
gets on the board first to give the Stars a 1-0 lead. The game would remain 1-0 heading into the third period. By the way, that was Hintz's 9th goal of the postseason. The third period was as tense as a fight at the OK Corral, which is probably why Wyatt Earp Johnston fired the deadliest shot of them all.
He'll flip it all the way down the ice. First to it is Wyatt Johnston, and a backhand. He scores!
Oh, my!
What a shot! Wyatt Johnston upstairs. And with 7:12 left in the third period, how big is that? Makes it a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, the line dancing parties would be on in Dallas as they had a 2-goal lead with time ticking away. Oliver Bjorkstrand did a meaningless goal in for the Kraken with 19 seconds left, and that would end a 2-1 Stars Game 7 victory. Stars coach Pete DeBoer is a real pig when it comes to Game 7s. DeBoer improved to 7-0 in Game 7s. This was his fourth different team he led to a win in Game 7. Daryl Sutter and Scott Bowman are the only other coaches to do that. For the second year Kraken, though, it's a whole new world, as Yanni would sing to us post-game.
Super proud of these guys. They battled hard the whole year, and every time we stepped up, we never quit. Young guys stepped up, older guys stepped up, everyone did, and it's been a lot of fun playing with these guys.
Yanni Gourde and the Kraken will not be overlooked next year, but for now, the Stars and Knights will settle the West, beginning with a game one on Friday night. And for the final time until Friday morning, that is your Canadian bacon.
Okay. Pete, one oink, two oinks, three oinks, four oinks, four and a half oinks. Wow. A very successful Canadian bacon, four and a half oinks. Well, let's go through this, shall we? Fine tooth comb. Number one, obviously, bonus points for the DA Show Open. Well done. Number two, I really enjoyed Phillips Head Grubauer put the screws to the Kraken. That was very good. Major points for a real deep cut after hours joke. It was after hours with Dave Ottinger, did you say?
Because it's Jake Ottinger and not Dave Ettinger.
So one of Amy's old producers was Dave Ettinger.
Correct.
And Mraz used a Jake Ottinger, Dave Ettinger joke. So that's, again, the deepest of the deep cut.
I mean, seven people in North America might have gotten that one.
So that was really good. Now, let's get to the singing. First, Salt and Pepper. This is in my wheelhouse, an early 90s R&B / hip hop pop song. I think it's so bad it's good. I think. When you said, what's my weakness? Goals. That was so bad. I think I love it. What's my weakness? Goals. Okay. That was so bad. How did you come up with that?
Well, his name is Rupe Hintz. I've done enough dropping Hintz jokes as his ninth goal of the playoffs. He's been featured a lot. So, hey, we've had a lot of second period goals in NHL playoffs. It's a combination like salt and pepper. That was my lead in. And then I figured instead of shoop, shoop.
Yeah, how did you get to salt and pepper?
Okay, I will read the line again.
I just didn't understand where this came from.
Rupe became shoop.
Right. That's
Rupe Hintz instead of shoop, shoope. Rupe.
So here would be my minor critique on this. I get Rupe and shoop, but then, like, as we go with them backwards to the beginning, if that makes sense, I don't think scoring in the second period is like salt and pepper. Like, that's a stretch. That's
a lot of the goals in this series have happened in the second period.
I'm sure they have, but they're not.
Second periods and goals in this postseason have been a perfect combo, like salt and pepper.
Yeah, I don't.
Here I go again. Girls, what's my weakness? Goals.
So that's the second period singing right there?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the second period singing in unison about all the goals being scored.
Yeah. Inside the second period. All right. It's not a direct line. But you've done worse.
I was just saying something. And then we get to the end, which it was kind of professional at the end. Not a lot of jokes in the final stanza of this.
Well, I gave you the historical reference I think you guys are going to give me a lot of credit for.
Which was?
The Wyatt Earp at the OK Corral.
Yeah. I like the Pete DeBoer. I didn't know that factoid. 7-0 in Game 7. Yeah. That's a really good factoid.
He's a real pig in them.
Now, when you get to It's a Whole New World, did Yanni sing that?
No, I'm glad you mentioned this. So that's like a... You can't mix metaphors here. You sang a Disney song and then said Yanni would sing, which is a reference to Yanni Gourde. But when you say it that way, the only way to hear it is that Yanni sang Whole New World and he didn't.
Yeah, The Whole New World is a wink, wink. I tried to do, me and Bogus had talked about this.
Right.
Yesterday, your Moana take. So I wanted to see if you would understand that was a Disney song. But Yanni is known for music and he was speaking. So it wasn't the most literal. Yes, Yanni didn't sing A Whole New World. But it is a whole new world for the Kraken that they're a playoff team. It's a Disney wink at you for not knowing Disney. But Yanni happened to be the guy speaking post game. So it just fit the same song.
I know Disney. I just don't know Moana.
Right. Yeah. Do you know A Whole New World?
Yeah. That's Aladdin.
Okay.
And it ends up not fitting because I would think 9 out of 10 people went, Yanni didn't sing that. In fact, Yanni doesn't sing, right? Doesn't he play an instrument?
Yes.
Ooh, good point.
So, like, to me, the joke might have been, if you wanted to play Yanni Gourde,
lead into it like it's going to be a soundbite and then have the violin just go. I mean, like, that's a good point on game seven. Like, but when you combine a Disney song and a Yanni reference, it gets confusing.
And then he never sings.
Right. And he doesn't, on top of that, he never sings.
Right. If you know, you know.
That's I was waiting for him to sing.
Pete, 4.5, that was a good score.
Yeah, yeah, good job. But roundabout ways to get to the songs, that was my critique. Mm. But everything else was fine.
I thought yesterday's was better. No. And Pete got down to 3.5.
No, I thought today was some different things. I like different, add some different elements to the equation. And some past elements, the Phillips head screwdriver thing. But I thought the writing was good. It was a good bacon.
And I also, this is a 2-1 game, standalone game. There was no need for me to go on and on and on. I gave you what you needed.
You didn't want to Carlos with a K.
Yeah.
In and out.
So, Pete, you liked, girls, what's my weakness?
Goals! Like I said, there was a roundabout way to get that song in there. It probably wouldn't have been my choice to use, but I, you know, salt and pepper, that's fine.
There were a lot of voice fluctuations in this one.
Yeah.
That didn't warrant fluctuations.
Wow. Now, Dixieland Dan, who's known as Scientist Dan, says, I'm done. I'm just done, which is very dramatic. Dan tends to be very dramatic.
So you liked it.
A 4.5, that's a 5. That's a 5, a 4.75 at worst.
Wow.
The oink grading system has gotten out of hand. What does this man have to do? No stumbles, full of energy, terrible puns. It was exactly what Canadian bacon is supposed to be. Hashtag done for the bacon.
He's not wrong.
Well, he might be a little wrong because you think all these things are hilarious.
Also, how can you be done with the broken grading system when you admit it could be a 4.75 and you got a 4.5?
Yeah,
I mean, we're a quarter oink off, and you're just saying, this is broken. It's gotten out of hand. Yeah. I can't live like this. Dixieland is throwing Meisterbrow cans against the garage. I can't do this anymore. It needed to be a 4.75 minimum. Why must you crush my spirits and break me, Pete the Body?
I mean, come on. He's right, though. When a quarter oink's needed, a quarter oink's needed.
But I don't see how this is a full oink better than yesterday.
Well, but you can't drag down this today because Pete was off with his grade yesterday.
I'm not dragging this one down. I just thought yesterday was better, and Pete's got this one as a full oink better. I didn't think Pete and I were that apart on what's required of you in this segment.
I can like different things.
Here's the thing.
I can't move today.
DA's line didn't drop today.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I can like different things. And that's my opinion. That's my opinion.
I love my opinion. JD says, trash this guy singing during Canadian bacon. Karaoke bars wouldn't even allow you to sing that bad. Hashtag stop singing. This might be my favorite tweet in years because it says, trash this guy singing.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
How little do you have to listen to the show
to not know
Mraz is the guy singing?
And he's got the kid next to him on the way to school listening for the first time.
This guy singing. Who is this guy singing? Well, he's been part of the show for 10 years.
Is that salt or pepper, Daddy? I'm confused. What's my weakness?
No, it's probably a cast member from Hamilton who sings all the time.
Your weakness is dribbling. Put that bib back on, kid. By the way, Timbo Slice says, Mraz, tell him Hamilton and Peterborough are not near each other. They're like 2 hours apart.
That's relatively close. New York and Philly are 2 hours apart. They're near each other.
Actually, he says, Peterborough is 2 hours past Hamilton. And most people are voting for going coastal. Drew LeBlanc says Mraz is not even close, sends a map of the three places that you cited, Hamilton, Toronto, and Peterborough. And Peterborough is not in between the two, Hamilton and Toronto, which you said.
All right, so I was off a little bit. Nonetheless, there's still a kid in the car.
Peterborough is Toronto's in between the other two.
Really?
Yeah, it goes Hamilton, Toronto, then Peterborough. So you've probably never driven through Peterborough like you claim.
Oh, or waved at it from across Lake Erie.
I thought I saw the sun. Maybe it was just Peterborough this way.
Hook a left at the Bill Stadium, a little hat tip to Peterborough.
the Meraz map would have a key in the bottom right that says 2 hours. So like it's
to everywhere.
To everywhere. So you put it in certain locations.
That's right.
It's 2 hours everywhere.
That's right. Bogues has headlines.
And these are sponsored by HelloFresh. Shake up dinner time with HelloFresh. With 40 weekly recipe options, there's always something new to try. Get 16 free meals plus free shipping with code SKATE16 at HelloFresh.com/SKATE16.
What's love got to do? Got to do with it. What's love? Got to do. Got to do with it. Got to do. Got to do with it.
Hey, 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 hey.
Got to do. Got to do with it.
Fair question, Mr. T. The Western Conference Finals.
I pity the fool that don't respect love.
What's love? Got to do. Got to do with it.
I pity the fool that doesn't know that love's got nothing to do with it.
Mr. T has no weaknesses.
Shut up, second period.
I'm Mr. Low T.
Mr. T pills.
What's love? Got to do. Got to do with. Hey, 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 hey. Got to do. Mr. T got pills. To do with it.
I pity the fool's got low testosterone.
Hey, 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 hey. What's love? Got to do. Got to do with it. What's love? Got to do. Got to do with it.
I pity the fool that can't get action in bed because he's past the age of 35.
Got to do with it.
I pity the fool who's low energy because he's now past his prime.
There's the chicken wing. There's the chicken wing. Get it up. That's from the last Rangers game.
Everyone makes these noises. It's fine.
Hey, 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 hey. Got to do with it.
Just for the record, that was all from Meraz.
Yeah, the guy that sings. That guy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, welcome back. You can always watch the show on YouTube, on Twitch, or at watchda.com. Trash Tuesday begins here. Meraz, are you trashing?
I'm trashing myself. If you remember two Thursdays ago, I had toasted myself for all the home projects I was getting done. I felt real handy. Well, over the weekend, we had some 80-degree temperatures, so it was time to fire up the central air conditioning in my house. Except it wasn't going on. It felt like instead the house just kept getting hotter and hotter. So I called my AC service guy. I said, we need to come over here. We need something to happen. So yesterday, they sent a guy over.
He comes in, he goes outside, looks at my unit, comes in, and says the following words: "Did you try turning on the switch?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" "Apparently, I just failed to remember to turn on the power switch on the outside condensing unit. And the big problem, the big service call was not flipping a switch." So I am that horrible.
The big on-off button that you just flip up to on?
So I have a thermostat inside that you would hit on, but the switch gets powered down, I guess, during the winter. I must have not realized. I think they did work to it over the winter. And I never even checked the unit to flip on a switch. And they sent a guy out just to turn a switch on for me. So I'm trashing myself.
Nice trashing.
Get that guy a napkin.
Andrew Bogus, who are you trashing?
D.A., I'm going to lodge my first official complaint against new Twitter management. That's been a very trendy thing recently, but maybe you've noticed this. I am now being relatively overwhelmed by spam DMs. Like, out of nowhere, they've gone up significantly in frequency. People needing money, needing friendship, needing love. And I'm petrified that I'm going to click on one of these things and, like, all hell is going to break loose. My accounts are going to be hacked. Crazy tweets are going to go out. So I'm, like, delicately clicking in, not touching anything by accident, no link by accident. Just a little button that says block or delete or this is spam, leave me alone. It might have happened 4 times previously. I feel like it's happened 40 in the last 2 months. So get them out.
Trash them.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
I've just been inundated by people that I don't follow on my timeline. I'm like, how am I getting these people? This, I don't even know who this is. Why am I seeing every one of their tweets? Never heard of these people.
For you?
And not even for me. It's just like I have a totally different timeline than I ever did. All right, Pete the Body, who are you trashing?
Following up off of Bogus's trash, a little bit different for me. I am trashing the marketers that have been texting me and calling me saying they want to buy my house. I'm not looking to sell my house. Mm. It's a spam, another spam marketing ad. I am so tired of it. It's happened since we moved into our house, and it's constant. And they were asking me about my parents' house. Mm. I mean, these people, there has to be a regulation on these people. They have to find, someone has to come up with a way to get these people out of our lives. So I'm trashing more telemarketers.
Illegal dumping.
Well, my battles with the cable company never cease. And so I called up. Pete knows my problems well with my cable company.
Problems?
Yeah, slight problems. And so I say, hey, I think it's my box. I got to bring in the box. Can I exchange the box? They say, yeah. Go to one of our stores and bring in the box. Okay. So I go out of my way, disconnect the box in the morning, put it in the car, because we have to use it at night. The router is the cable box in this instance, so it's a whole issue. Drive out of my way to go to the cable store on my way back from work. I walk in, they go, oh, no, you can't return that here. I go, what do you mean? They go, well, we don't have those in stores. That's one of those combo boxes, right? I said, yeah. They go, yeah, no, we don't carry those. I go, well, where do I return this? A different cable store? No, you'll have to have a technician come out. Just to swap the box? Fine. When can you be there? So this was on Friday, I think. How about Saturday? Okay, let's get it done over the weekend. When is he available? 5 to 8 in the evening. So I got to be home between 5 and 8 o'clock on Saturday. Okay, I'll make sure I'm home. I've got a communion party for my niece that's early in the day. I'll make sure I'm home. Fine. So I go to the communion party. 3:30, I get a call from an unknown number. Hello? Hi, this is the cable company. Do you have the internet? I'm like, yeah, I have the internet. So what type of technical service do you need? I was like, are you asking me what needs to happen? Is this the cable guy? I said, I need my box swapped out. Oh, okay. All right. I said, yeah, so I have this box. He goes, oh, no, we don't use that box anymore. I go, well, what do you want me to do? He goes, no, we don't have that box. I go, I have that box. So I need whatever you use now. Just give me that. Okay, all right. Are you home now? I said, no, it's 3:30. The appointment was between 5 and 8. He goes, 5 and 8? Okay. I accidentally said the name of the company I wasn't supposed to. They said, I'll call the cable company. Okay, you call them. No phone call back, no text back. So I just assume we're on for five. Go back home. 5 o'clock comes, they don't come. 6 o'clock comes, they don't come. 7 o'clock, 7:30, I call. I go, is this guy coming or not? Well, let's look it up. Da, 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 da. Oh, the appointment's been canceled. Canceled? Yeah, the technician canceled it. Why? We don't know. You don't know? He can't cancel. I cancel. I didn't cancel. He called at 3:30. It was for 5. I was here at 5. We'll have to get a hold of the dispatcher. They would know why he canceled it. I'm like, what do you mean? What is going on? So this the most dismissive, disrespectful cable company that I have ever dealt with. And I looked up who I could turn to. A different cable company to leave my business with. Nothing. All right, no competitor. The one competitor has like a 5 megabits connection that you basically have a rotary phone you can connect to. It's basically a dial-up modem. So I'm stuck with these heathens. And it's just the most abusive relationship ever.
Totally gross, dude.
I don't understand how they would have a 5 to 8 appointment on a Saturday to begin with.
Exactly.
I actually side with the technician here. Why are you sending me out anywhere between 5 and 8? I should be done by 5.
When this woman behind the counter said 5 to 8, I said, 5 to 8 on a Saturday? Okay. If you got that.
Oh, she screwed that up. Now, the technician's wrong because it's the place that it's.
Well, she didn't screw that up. The appointment was on the blocks.
Yeah.
The cable company confirmed it when I called them. That this guy had canceled it. So it was, she did the right thing. This cable guy just decided I'm not dealing with it today.
I know.
And that's not okay.
I'm saying, I think that there's probably never appointments between 5 to 8 here. I don't blame this guy. I'm not working 5 to 8 on a Saturday. Now, he shouldn't have done it once he's screwed and locked into there. He should have showed up. But he's got a fight with that lady down the line at his job. It's ridiculous.
Well, whatever. It's the appointment. I was there.
Now, the real problem is, I don't understand. Like, do you live in Amish country? How could you only have one internet provider? How is that possible?
There's only one good one. There's only one good one.
That's
and
crazy.
This is far from good, but
and they know problem. They're the only ones, and probably.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a monopoly. It's terrible.
But this happens in a lot of places in America. You happen to live in one of the most densely populated places in all of the country.
I know.
Yes.
I get it.
Go ask your little kids that look up to you in Reno and Tulsa.
Reno, it's a good one.
And Tuscaloosa and Peterborough.
You're telling me, same thing, Peterborough. They got one internet provider.
Yeah, ask most people in this country. They got one internet that comes into their town. That's it. We all got one to pick from.
Wow.
You happen to live like, you know, in the middle of strip mall country.
That's why I get competitive pricing. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, in some places you only get it through a satellite dish because they don't even have the wiring for normal delivery.
That is crazy. Yeah.
Some people, like there's some towns in America that only got the internet wired through there like within the last 10 years.
But that only then goes back to what we just talked about last segment. You can't be streaming football playoff games yet if people have this many internet problems.
You can't. I totally agree.
Well,
you cannot.
Here's the other thing, though. I'd be going right to a manager the third instance this happened. You know, I go right to a manager. And with these cable companies, when I have problems with them, I just hit 000 for about 10 minutes. And I finally get to someone I need to talk to. And I scream and I say, I'll pull out my internet. And I threaten to pull out my internet, and that's it. And I finally get someone to give me an answer and give me what I need.
But I think
that's totally ridiculous.
You also live in a place like Morazzo's where you have options. So they know they got to be better to you than they got to be to me.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're also better at yelling at people than I am.
Yeah. It also sounds like you always have problems. Yes. I'm not sure if the yelling
I need
works.
To hire Pete to yell at this.
I'll yell at them. That's what I should. There it is.
That's right.
There's my calling.
At 10:02 a.m., I'm just going to put you on the phone with my cable company.
I'm the professional yeller.
It's getting close to where you need to like flex a little bit and be like.
I'm going to pull it out now.
No, don't make me. This is what I do for a living. Like, don't make me. Like, tell somebody or say it on the radio. Like, you don't want to threaten them, but, like, you can point out that, like, they don't need, you know, 7 on your side knocking on people's doors wondering why the cable sucks so much by where you live.
You're right. I I run into this issue with, I know it's not the people that I'm talking to's fault. It's like the woman that I went to the store, it's not her fault they don't carry the boxes.
Right.
It's not her fault the technician didn't show up. And I'll never see that technician face to face to yell at him. And so I call up the department and I'm talking to a woman that it's like, I don't know why he canceled. It's not our fault. So I feel bad yelling at the people that's not responsible for it.
Yeah. I do that a lot too. I'm like, I know this is not your fault, but it has to be said that ... Right. is unacceptable.
Yeah, I'm getting over that little intro.
Yeah.
I've been doing that too, but whenever I have a problem, see, I have the same company that DA has, unnamed company. I have the same company, and it's the same problems. It's the same, constantly getting screwed left and right by this company. Internet stinks. The prices always go up, and if I had time, I would switch from them. But I have no time to get them to come down and take the box out.
That's exactly
right.
Bring
the box in.
Now we got to reinstall a new company. He's got to run a different line. Right.
And they don't have things that I don't have. They have things that I don't want. There's channels that I need that they don't have. So
I agree.
I get it.
Kristen in Buffalo tweets, I'm trashing the return to office. I'm at work at 7 a.m., and as the 8 a.m. crowd shuffles in, we have grown adults booing because some turned the lights on. This is the culture I have to commute in for.
That's just human filth.
That's brutal. That's really brutal. The lights, it's too bright in here. You're at work. Do work.
You do nothing.
Kristen of Buffalo chanting that at her office today. Adam, the former bath guy, is trashing the locals in Vancouver who constantly complain about the weather. Either too cold and wet or too hot. Nothing is good enough for them. Trash him.
That deserves a trash can emoji.
Cowboys Sooners trashing Sunday ticket prices. $400. $400. I got it for a little over $100 last year with a student discount. Trash him.
I'm getting queasy.
Dalton trashing the NFL for putting these games on exclusive streaming services with people on limited income no longer can be involved. My dad doesn't have internet or cable, and he is upset.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Dalton's dad doesn't even have the internet, let alone him swapping to and fro like you get to do in your neighborhood.
That is a rough house to have to come over for dinner for, huh? Jeez.
Steven in South Carolina trashing gas stations. When I need a receipt after getting gas for work and there is never tape in the receipt machine, I always have to go in.
That's just offensive.
Yeah, that is annoying. When it's the automatic receipt dispenser and it's all out of the paper and now you got to go inside and stand in line. It's a problem. Okay, we'll get to more trashes coming up here. Although Art Bobart has one. I'm trashing work fridges and the a-holes that treat it like a food garbage bin. Only reason I got my lunch in here is because I moved a bunch of stuff around. Pack it in, pack it out daily. Trash them.
I smell rotten eggs.
And Art, I don't know where Art Bobart works, but this is a disaster.
Is it here?
It's a disaster of a work fridge. I believe, did Ack take over the work fridge and cleanse it?
No, we don't have we do not have a specific fridge anymore. Never, not since we lost our actual newsroom, we haven't had one.
Oh, but the cafeteria one's good now.
But Ack, I don't think, touches
no,
that
No, we actually have the guy who does the plates, cups, and everything actually will go through it once a week.
Yusef?
No, that's the cleaning guy. I'm talking about, I forgot his name, the comptroller guy.
Ah, I see.
He actually does it. I've seen him back there, and he told me he does it once a week.
In which one?
Love that.
Here in the break room?
The big one.
No, the big one in the cafeteria.
The big old one.
Yeah, that's a nice one now.
Yeah, it is. You feel good.
It used to be a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you go in there now, you have no problem leaving a little cantaloupe in it. You come back to it, it's fine.
I'll tell you.
All right. What are you saying this morning, Chief?
If you went there right after pandemic, it is possible there was food in there from pre-pandemic. I think you could have been in there, and there was food in there from 2 years prior.
For sure, there was lo mein 2018.
Or human.
Or human. Or human remains.
Yeah.
All right, Bogue says headlines.
DA Dallas Stars forward Wyatt Johnston left the
Teenage Wasteland.
Perfect time. One day after turning 20, Johnston scored the game-winning goal in Game 7 with Seattle last night.
That's
He's the youngest ever to score the Game 7 winner. He's so young, he lives with teammate Joe Pavelski and his family.
It was big. You could definitely know there was a lot of emotions going through our household with Nate and Sarah. It's when he scores, when he does something like that, it's pretty special. You feel a little extra for him, and well, what a big time play, a big time moment, and you know, happy for him.
He was 19 years old earlier this week.
Correct.
Or over the
two
week.
2 days ago. In between game 6, he was 19. Game 7, he was 20.
And he's living with the Pavelskis.
Mm-hmm. That was Joe on ESPN. The
2003, we're naming our kids Wyatt?
Victory put Dallas in the Western Conference final.
It is an old school name.
Yeah, very old school.
It's probably come around to be cool again.
I mean, that means in 2003, somebody held a baby and said, look at Wyatt here. Look how cute Wyatt is here. That's strange.
Yeah, and maybe it's like named after a grandfather or whatever. But there's also the dude in Ozark is Wyatt.
Yeah.
So it's going to come back now for sure.
All right. Oh, I'm not saying I'm anti the name. I just find it very odd to look at a baby named Wyatt.
Yeah, what's the most odd old man name you can name a baby? Like Bert?
Bert, yeah. Bruce. I always go back to a woman. You cannot have an Eleanor now.
Ooh, I was going to say Ethel. That was my grandmother's
name. My mom's name is Eleanor.
Oof. Yeah.
But she was born a long time ago.
Right, exactly. Everybody knows an Eleanor. I'm saying you don't see the kid signing up for T-ball named Eleanor.
I disagree with that because there's Noras now. Nora, Eleanor, L.
Yeah.
You'll get...
Nora is short for Eleanor?
Can be.
But I feel like Boy, Nora was its own name. I'm sorry.
I think so too. But both. I think it's just like they're all kind of making a comeback.
I think Eleanor is fine. Beatrice.
Gertrude.
You Gertrude. Watch. Gertrude. Well, Gertie. Gertie.
No.
I would much prefer all these names to Penelope Pineapple or whatever else we're naming our kids now. I don't know. Just
Pineapple?
There are some names that are just ridiculous. Give me the old names. I want a Gertrude back.
You do.
Jack. Yeah. Benny.
Yeah. Give me a baby named Barry.
Barry. Barry the baby. Barry the baby.
Come on over. It's Barry's first birthday.
Which former Giant was named Barry in case you have a third kid?
Barry, never a discouraging word. Barry Bananas Foster. Baby Barry.
And I just love this all coming from a guy who's kind of named after Sean Landetta, but they couldn't spell it his correct way because we thought his name would be seen by accident.
Help me out. They helped me out.
Baseball. Fenway last night. Mariners catcher Cal Raleigh already had a 2-run homer left-handed.
First pitch. Swung on. That's what he does. High drive, deep left center field. Carry. Goodbye. Big Cal. A 2-run homer from the right side after a 2-run homer left side. And here in the Mariners, top of the sixth, it's 5-0 Seattle.
Raleigh is the first catcher ever to homer from each side of the plate in the same game at Fenway. Dave Sims called it Mariners Radio Seattle, a 10-1 victory. Aaron Judge with 2 solo homers. At least one of them was legitimate in the Yankees' 7-4 win in Toronto. And a bases-loaded walk gave the Dodgers a 9-8 win in 12 over the Twins. And the Steelers reportedly re-signing backup QB Mason Rudolph. Should we get stung?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
If Celtics Sixers wasn't your thing on Mother's Day, maybe a bear show would have been better.
Wow.
We're in Traverse City, Michigan, where a bear climbed a tree Sunday morning. Rescue crews showed up, sent 4 tranquilizer darts into the bear's rump, and then they waited. And while they waited, more and more people showed up with folding chairs, picnic blankets, their cell phone cameras.
Oh, no.
And they watched the bear until it fell asleep, fell out of the tree, and onto a mattress that someone had dragged over in case the bear fell.
Didn't wildlife rescue or whatever think about where the bear is going to fall onto before somebody dragged their old mattress?
I don't know what's in the truck that they have at their disposal.
Well, I mean, if you're going to tranquilize a bear in a tree, you better have a good way for it to get down when it falls.
Unless it's one of those like telephone company trucks that has the ladder and you're going to scoop the bear into the basket and bring it down.
The cherry picker?
Yeah.
If there's a child in a tree, if there's a person at a high place and there's a fire or something and they've got to jump, they have those big, giant catcher things. I don't know if those are tarps or trampoline type things, but you know, you jump down and they all eight people hold it.
Well, why don't they think they do that anymore? This is not Curious George.
Yeah, I don't think eight people are holding it. Hang on tight, they're jumping.
And well, they're all moving in unison, like
yeah. Well, how do you even jump?
It's like
down?
A giant inflatable cushion. They
yeah,
with the air.
Okay, so
nobody holds
if you're
it.
On the third floor and there's a fire behind you, you can't get out. You got to jump. They put something on the ground.
Yes, 1,000%.
They don't drag. They don't hope Doris has an old mattress and she drags it down the block.
No, no. The rescue team, in the fire department has a tool.
Yeah,
like
so
a bounce
use that
house.
For the bear. Yeah, use that for the bear.
Well, the wildlife people would have to have that. The fire department wasn't there.
The fire department has that for humans. That's how they yeah. save humans.
But don't bears are different. Like when a cat falls out a window, it's fine. It runs away. Like,
he's awake. The cat's awake. The bear's asleep. He's going to fall right in his head.
I think animals are fine when they fall out of trees. They usually bounce back.
I'm glad this guy's okay. So everyone just sat around waiting
and
for,
watched.
For the bear to fall
and
asleep
by the way,
and fall.
What if it fell down and went, and went after them, and you're sitting there in your stupid lawn chair that's a wiffle ball bat thing, and then you're leaving.
Kids, run! The bear woke up!
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
There's Mr. T and there's Mr. Low T.
Got to do with it.
Hey, 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 hey.
Got to do with it.
Fair question, Mr. T. The Western Conference Finals.
I pity the fool that don't respect love.
What love? Got to do with it.
I pity the fool.
The name is Mr. T. First name is Mr. Middle name is that period. Last name is T.
That doesn't know that love's got nothing to do with it.
Mr. T has no weaknesses. Shut up, second period.
I'm Mr. Low T.
Well, I pity the fool that makes that mistake.
I pity the fool's got low testosterone.
Hey, 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 what's love? Got to do with it.
Well, most times, quitting only makes things worse.
I pity the fool that can't get action in bed because he's
got
past
to do,
the age of 35.
Got to do with it.
I pity the fool who's low energy because he's now past his prime.
And that's a tip. To you, from me, Mr. T.
There's the chicken wing. There's the chicken wing.
Oh,
get it up. That's from the last Rangers game.
Everyone makes these noises.
It's fine.
Only fools brag.
Whew. Hey, 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 hey. Got to do with it.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Question of the morning. Guys who drive convertibles like me and my rental right now, cool or tool? 70% of you say tool. Good to know. This name here is trashing Mraz for jumping from Aaron Judge, possibly cheating, to trying to compare it to a 9-year-old. Come on, man.
I'm getting queasy.
King Curtis is trashing his work truck last week. The stereo and backup camera went out. The battery died.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Foley, Ohio is trashing aging. Getting older means sleeping wrong is now a thing. God forbid I sleep on my side or with my neck slightly turned. I feel like I'm 90 with sore hips. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti, Wheels of Steel and audio director. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good to one another. I'm DA. We will see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
Here I go, here I go, here I go again. Girls, what's my weakness? Goals!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.